Today we're reading from the autobiography of Benjamin Sisko.
Introduction by Jake Sisko. There were no ships on the upper or lower pylons, no protests or pilgrimages on the promenade, no station repairs that needed immediate attention, no scheduled vessels coming through the wormhole. Deep Space Nine was quiet. The silence unnerved Lieutenant Nog as he sat at the situation table in the center of ops. On a night shift, the silence would have made sense. At night, with most of the promenade shops closed and station personnel in their quarters or asleep, there was simply nothing to hear. But now, at 06:30 hours, on the day shift of the first anniversary of the end of the war, and Captain Sisko's disappearance, this wasn't what Nog expected. The Ferengi had been thinking about the seventh rule of acquisition all morning. Keep your ears open. However, the ambient noise in the operations center was barely above 20 decibels. There was more sound coming from the computers at the different stations and ops than the people manning them. No one was talking. And if they were, it was only to ask and answer the occasional question. The lieutenant looked around at the people in Bajoran and Starfleet uniforms. Even the Starfleet operating system in the computers was an indication of what had been saved by winning the Dominion War. At the same time, the station's Cardassian architecture would always be a reminder of just how close they'd come to losing everything. Nog realized maybe the silence on the station wasn't silence at all, but a way for everyone to reflect on what had happened, and whom they had lost. Without warning, the dormant sensor array at the situation table was activated. Years ago, Jadzidex had fine-tuned the station sensors to detect a sudden surge in the neutrino emissions. Nog watched the emissions rise steadily on the early detection system, which could mean only one thing. The wormhole was opening. Outside the station, light, energy, and gravity coalesced at a single point, and neutrinos surged. A whirlpool of light and color spiraled open. Gaseous clouds, miles in a diameter, blossomed in existence. At the center, not a rip or tear in space, but a doorway. And within the open doorway, a blazing tunnel of energy beckoned. Nog flashed a quick look at the trans-wormhole subspace communications relay that connected the Alpha Quadrant to the Gamma Quadrant. 70,000 light-years separated the two relay stations, but a subspace filament made communication nearly instantaneous. You would know when something had entered the wormhole and was taking the two-minute trip to the other side. However, no ship had entered the wormhole. Lieutenant Nog had seen what the Bajorans called the Celestial Temple of the Prophets open many times before, but it was rare for a stable wormhole to do so without something entering or exiting. He tapped the communications console on the monitoring station. "Colonel, the wormhole is opening, but no ships have entered or exited." Less than 10 seconds later, Colonel Kira Nari stepped out of the station commander's office. Gripping a baseball, she paused atop the short staircase that elevated the office above everything else in the operations center. As all eyes turned to her, she focused on the empty iris of the Cardassian display that sat high above ops for everyone to see. "On screen," Kira commanded as she descended the stairs. Like an ever-watchful eye, the elliptical view screen snapped to life. The wormhole appeared as it had thousands of times before, but this time, something was different. The energy at the heart of the doorway that had always blazed like an infinite sun began to pulsate. Nog didn't bother to hide the anxiety he was feeling as he said, "That's new." Lieutenant Commander Amir's attention was pulled away from the main view screen to the external sensor readout at the science station he was manning. The half-Andorian, half-Vulcan's antenna shot up in surprise from his head full of white hair as his blue-green skinned hands raced over the panel. "Something's happening in there. I'm reading a massive buildup of tachyon energy," he said. The science officer looked up. his face filled with concern. The wave pattern is similar to what we see with some directed energy weapons, Colonel. Colonel Kira knew her science officer wasn't prone to make rash judgments or mistakes. As she stood next to Nog at the situation table, her eyes went back to the view screen. Amir was right. Something was going on inside the wormhole. The energy at the heart of what the prophets had constructed was pulsating, fluctuating, and changing somehow. Kira couldn't allow herself to think about what that meant for the prophets or anyone else inside the celestial temple. Right now, her responsibility was for the station, and quite possibly for everyone in the Alpha Quadrant. The Bajoran commander of Deep Space Nine felt her grip tighten on the baseball she ordered, shields. Less than a second after the order was given, a tight beam of energy erupted from deep within the wormhole and slammed into the force fields that activated around Deep Space Nine. The entire station shook from the strength of the impact on the shields. Chief Engineer Tekoa was shaking her head frantically as she spoke, her soft brown eyes unable to mask her confusion. I do understand it. No structural damage to station. Shield integrity at full strength. With the amount of power that beam is generating, it should have blown a hole in our shields, but it didn't. The Colonel could see it on Tekoa's face. The station's new Bajoran chief engineer didn't know why or how, but somehow they'd gotten lucky. Kira looked over at the science officer. She hoped the young man had some answers. Amir? The Andorian Vulcan raised an eyebrow. Colonel, while the beam has the power of a Suzy Sheep-class ship phaser bank, it appears to have been attenuated to a non-lethal frequency. But I have no idea why this has been done. Nog interjected, I know why. The lieutenant tapped a few buttons at his communication station, and the entire situation table began to display the information from his monitor. A cross-section evaluation of the beam that was still impacting the shields. The beam's strength is probably just to ensure the fidelity of the communication. There's a compressed message encrypted within the beam. Nog looked up at Kira. With Captain Sisko's old command codes, he's sending us something. Kira looked down at the baseball, the object that had become so much more than an essential tool used in a game. It had become a symbol of a presence that was as much a part of the station as the bulkheads and uranium girders that held the station together. A presence that could be felt in the laughter of the promenade on good days and in the fortitude of her new staff on bad days. But it was also a promise that had been made, and perhaps most importantly, for her. It embodied something this commander of Deep Space Nine and former freedom fighter had used all her life to guide her. Faith. The Colonel looked up at the view screen and the continuous energy beam that emanated from within the celestial temple and gave the only order she could. Lower the shields.
I'm a west side baby. I'm a west side baby.
Thank you for listening. For more, please visit freetime.education/rewind. Text copyrights by respective authors. Audio copyright 2024 by Freetime Rewind. Music by Lord Geo.
I'm from Manhattan. My mama took a couple hits and raised a west side, baby. I gotta make it to the top for my fam. I can't take no maybe. I'm not a younger no more. Time flies so fast, if it like last year I was 1-4. Oh, life is better than before. Ain't nobody gave me keys, I had to break down that door. Oh, Westside, baby. Westside, baby. Westside, baby. Whoa. Hey, toda la gente que me está escuchando, sigue sus sueños. I want everyone to follow your dreams. No dejen que nadie les diga que no. You hear me? Don't let nobody, and I mean nobody, say no. Yo, I'm a west side baby. 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 I'm a